Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Well, 2019, huh? Hallelujah. And I enjoy this time of year when everybody gives their word for 2019, you know. Whatever it's going to be has to rhyme with teen, or it's not spiritual, you know, according to some, you know. So I don't know what you got, but that's not what this message tonight's about, okay? I do know this, that God is a God of increase. Isn't that right? And God has certain principles and certain, I like to call them laws. Now, people get upset sometimes these days when you talk about laws, but laws are good because laws work for whosoever will, the law of God. God's work, and natural laws do too. How many of you know the law of gravity is working for you right now? You're a whosoever. Doesn't matter who you are, the law of gravity is working for you. Well, God's laws operate and work for whosoever will. And I know that it is God's desire from His Word, and without going and doing a whole lot of looking at verses and different things concerning that, but that it is God's will that we increase this year. Amen. You know, I guess my word for you this year is read the Bible. There's a lot of words from God in there. All right. But one of the things in there is that Psalm 115, verse 14 says, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." And in studying and looking at God's way of increase, you find this subject comes up over and over. That the way God increases us and the way that we do increase is we increase by in the areas and in what we honor. Whatever you honor, give honor to, you will increase in that area. Whatever you dishonor, you will decrease in that area. Okay? Now, God, in a lot of things, and of course, you know, when we talk about increase, one of the areas that of course, that we all think about is financially and that type of thing. But God has even His principles concerning that. And it is to honor the Lord. If you're going to increase this year in any way, monetarily or physically, that type of thing, you're going to have to honor God and do things God's way. To honor is to put first in one meaning. It means to put God's things first. And so this year, we got to put God's word first. And so there's a lot of ways honoring God, you know, by putting His things first, bringing tithes and offerings, supporting His ministries and His ministers, by honoring your father and mother, by giving to those who give to the Lord, give to the poor, honor the Lord, by giving to those that are in need. But I want to talk about one tonight that we're going to do a lot of shouting tonight, because we're going to talk tonight about working. Honor the Lord by working a job or whatever. Some say, "Well, I'm retired." That's all right. You can still work. You can do something, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Amen. Verse 1, I'm going to read from the King James Bible and maybe take out these, thou's, and King James. But 1 Timothy 6, 1, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." Now here, servants and masters, let's look at it this way. A servant is an employee. The master would be the employer in this sense, right? We don't have that type in our Western civilization. Now, thank God, we don't have, you know, even some of the old translations use the word slaves and masters. We don't have that and don't need that, right? But we do have employers and employees. And we're looking at it from that standpoint. Now, notice this. As many as employees as are in the employment of their employers, count those employers worthy of all honor. You see, a lot of times to honor God, we have to honor others. We have to honor means to esteem highly, to value, to consider precious and worthy, to honor them. Okay? Now notice that when we do, if we do that, then the name of God and his doctrine is spoken well of. But to not do that is to cause God and the name of God and his doctrine, and I found out, whatever church you attend, to be blasphemed. You know, every year when we get students in here, we tell them, please, when you go out in the workforce, please go out and be a good employee. Because someone after you is going to need a job. Right? Because the last thing we need is someone say, well, I don't hire those Rhema students. Because they're thus and so. See, and they, we get spoken badly about. Well, if the school gets spoken badly about, then the church is being spoken badly about. The church is being spoken badly about. God's being spoken badly about. Right? So honoring the Lord, doing that that is right. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter 6. Here in Ephesians. Now, Paul mentions this over and over in his writings. We're not going to look in Colossians tonight. We're not going to. Peter has some things to say, but there's a whole lot we could spend a lot of time tonight. We just don't have the time to do this. This is part of a much larger teaching, but just as you pray, you know, and you're seeking God about what to talk about, I said, oh, God, now this is the first service of this year, and you want me to talk about working. But we're talking about increase, right? Now listen. Increase gives me a greater ability to bless others. That's why increase is important. Because you can't give what you don't have. But if you have it, you can give it. In fact, we're not reading it. We're going to read in chapter 6, but in chapter 4, he said, if you were a thief, quit stealing and work with your hands that which is good that you may have to give to them that have need. He didn't say work so you could eat. No, he said work so you could give. Well, that's a different philosophy of work, why to work, isn't it? All right, so look here in Ephesians 6, though, verse 5. Again, servants are employees, masters are employers. Employees, be obedient to them that are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, or whether you be the employee or the employer. And you employers, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is in heaven, also is in heaven, neither is their respective persons with him. Now there's so much here. He talks about be obedient to your employers, do what they ask you to do according to the flesh. So he's talking about on your job, okay, with fear and trembling. Well, fear here doesn't mean being afraid, but always when it relates to this, and this is from God's command, reverence, respect. How about that? And trembling. Now, what does he mean by trembling? Here again, not being afraid, okay? He's talking about maximum effort. Like the weightlifter who's struggling against the weight to lift that final, you know, that maximum lift to figure, and their muscles literally begin to tremble as they lift. He says we are to operate that way on the job. Amen. Let me ask you, when's the last time you were really worn out from giving a maximum effort at work? Come on now. It's not a good time to start lying. We just started the year. All right. Then he says, with singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart as servants of Christ, as unto the Lord, he says in verse 7. Notice here that God looks at it as if we're working for him. Amen. Now, how many of you know this world's system is not God's system? But God has put us in this world system to extract out of it what we need in order to operate in this world system. You have a job that pays you money, right? And with that money, you can operate in this system. And if you do it according to God's way of doing things, he said, any good thing you do, he will repay you. So think of it this way. I'm going to that job. I'm giving of myself, right? I'm giving of myself. What happens when you give? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Now, a lot of folks, I think, are waiting for the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, but they haven't given anything. Amen. How many managers, supervisors, employers are in here? You could hire people, you could promote people in the past. You're either doing that now or you have in the past. Let me see your hands. Are you promoting and giving raises and bonuses and big thing blessings to lazy people? No. Why? You go out of business doing that. That's the secret of failing in business. All right. You see, we're to work as unto the Lord, not with eye service. What does that mean? Not just when the boss comes in. Uh-oh, here come the boss. What do we do? Oh, get busy. Click off Facebook. Uh-oh, now you've gone and did it. All right. But then notice he talks about employers here. Do the same. In other words, do it as unto Christ. Don't threaten, because your master's in heaven. And then he also says, no respecter of persons with him. How many of you know that God makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust? The rain shines on the... You as an employer, he's talking about in this world system. Now, he's putting us in the flesh, right? You can't give respect to persons just because one person's a Christian, one person's not. You're violating the law. You're violating God's way of doing things. Yeah. I know this stuff is tough. But this life isn't for wimps. Look at your neighbor and say, I am not going to be a wimp. Titus chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 and 10. I know here... reading just a few years ago, you know, whether you know it or not, it was a big charismatic and Pentecostal revival in South America. And a lot of people got just similar to the United States in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, where a lot of people even came out of denominational churches and got filled with the Spirit of God. Big revival. Well, something else happened along with that. That this was written not in a church publication. This was written in the business publication. That they found that these spirit-filled workers were the best workers of all the workers in the country. And so they all looked to hire these folks because of their work ethic, not because they prayed in tongues all day, folks. But because they worked hard and they did what was right. And they found that these people, they could trust them. They could leave. They could leave them. Tell them do this, and it got done. And it got done with excellence. Why? Because these workers, because of their newfound relationship with God, and the fact that they had the power of God, they wanted to do things in excellence to give honor to God. Well, that ought to be our testimony. Amen. Here he says, exhort employees, verse 9, to be obedient unto their own employers. And to please them in all things, not answering back. Don't talk back. Not purloining. Well, we don't know what that means. We'll talk about that in a minute. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the gospel, that they may adorn the doctrine, rather, of God our Savior in all things. Well, let me ask you a question. How would your boss say you are adorning the gospel of Christ? Is it a good thing? Is it a decoration they want to have up all the time, or are they trying to hide you? Praise the Lord. The Amplified Bible here in verse 10 says, nor to steal by taking things of small value. That's what it means to purloin. How many of you know the number one employee theft is the biggest area of loss for retailers and businesses? Well, you know, they don't need that ream of paper. They've got a whole case of it. I just need a little for my computer at home, for my printer at home. No, that's stealing. That's purloining. And God forbids us to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, but to prove themselves truly loyal and entirely reliable and faithful throughout, so that in everything they may be an ornament and do credit to the teaching which is from and about God our Savior. Like I said, that was talking about adorning. Are you a good ornament? How many of you got some ornaments you don't really put on your tree? You know, that one Aunt Betsy gave you. That, you know, if she's coming over, it goes on there. But you know. Well, we ought to be an ornament that our boss never wants to take down. They want to leave us up all year long because we're adorning their building. We're a good looking thing. It makes them look good. Isn't that right? So in looking at these things, the book of Proverbs, and I broke out a classic tonight, the 1971 Living Bible padded version. Green padded version. I saw the other day that they've actually brought these back and they're selling them as collector's items. I've collected about three of them. But I'm going to read this from this translation, it's a paraphrase, you understand? Mr. Taylor paraphrased it, but there's some things, he talked, the scriptures we're going to look at tonight. I mean, it is so old, if you will, they don't even have it, I don't think, on our presentation program. So you're just going to have to go old school with me and listen. Now, it is available on eSword if you have that, and I've got it on my phone. But what I've done is I've highlighted these. So I'm going to start. You could try in your Bible to follow along, but it's just going to lose some. So I'm going to start here in Proverbs chapter 6. Now, this is talking about, these are basically talking about hard work and how to work. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy fellow. Learn from their ways and be wise. For though they have no king to make them work, yet they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. But you, all you do is sleep. When will you wake up? Let me sleep a little longer. Sure, just a little more. And as you sleep, poverty creeps up upon you like a robber and destroys you, wants attack you in full armor. Oh, we're just getting started. Okay. Be like the ant. Chapter 10, verse 4 says, lazy men are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Now, you know, that's like these scriptures are a lot like those where God said, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. It's a choice. And then God gives us a hint to the right answer. So in this, lazy or hard, a lazy worker or a hard worker? Well, what's the result? Poor or rich? I choose hard worker. And again, riches, not for riches' sake. Increase, not to just increase, but to become a greater blessing. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, verse 11 says, hard work means prosperity. Only a fool idles away his time. That's interesting because the Bible says that a fool says in his heart there is no God. Let me ask, are we living life like there is no God? Well, we come to church on Sunday. We're here on Sunday morning, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and boy, we don't miss service, you know. Synergy, we're here for that. Or you might be a student, you're here every day at class. But, you know, that's fine. But in life, are you living like there's no God? Are you living like a fool in that you just idle away your time? You're just you know, letting life happen. It just goes along, and all of a sudden, it's the next day. But see, when we apply ourselves, now this hard work applies in everything. Not in job, but it applies in everything. You work hard at something, you're going to get good results. Now listen, you understand this. We're not going, obviously, you can take these things and go into a ditch and make these things absolute. If you're not, listen, if you can't sing, I don't care how hard you work at it. Anthony's not going to let you up there with him to sing. All right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, have some common sense about this. But in the areas that, you know, you could be gifted in an area and still not be very prosperous in it because you don't work hard at it. Right? Now, you know, I can play a guitar. I can play chords. Not for very long because I got soft fingers now because I haven't played in a while. All right? But there's some things on a guitar. I can't do what Paula does. Why? Because Paula has worked hard at it, right? And so she's what? She's prosperous. In other words, you know, at the Christmas, whatever we called that, she did a solo. Okay? And a lot of us sat in our chairs and we air guitared, right? With her. We weren't up there. Remember air bands? Any of you ever been in an air band contest? Come on now. A few people. All right. Chapter 12, verse 24. Work hard, listen to this, and become a leader. Be lazy and never succeed. Well, now I've been around here a long time. I think I ought to be in charge of something. Well, you're lazy. We can't put you in charge of anything. I didn't call your name. Just smile. Nobody knows I'm talking about you. But you know, that's so true. People want to be leaders. They want, well, you know, because they read a leadership book. And somebody lied to them and told them everybody's a leader. If that's the case, who's following you? If you're leading, it implies somebody is following. But if everybody's a leader, anyway, I'm just thinking out loud here. Verse 27, a lazy man won't even dress the game he gets while hunting, but the diligent man makes good use of everything he finds. See, using what you have, what God's put in your hand. Chapter 13, verse 4 says, lazy people want much but get little, while the diligent are prospering. Amen. You know, as you read these things, it's I'm reading them, but I have to examine myself as you read the Word of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction, for correction, for reproof? Yes. Amen. Well, if you need correction here, then let's just take it. Verse 11 says, wealth from gambling quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I know you're sitting there thinking, well, I'd like to try to beat that. Just let me win the lottery one time and I'll prove that it can be done. But still, a majority of those folks end up with nothing after it's all said and done. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because they don't know how they got it. They don't know how to keep it. But from hard work, when you work hard and you apply yourself to something, then it grows. It just continues to grow. Why? That's the process of increase. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 23. I like this one. Work brings profit. Talk brings poverty. Oh, man. Some folks can talk a good game. They can talk. And the whole time they're talking, the guy next to him's working, and they end up in the position and the talker still talking. Isn't that right? And the talker is always an expert. Have you ever noticed that? They're always an expert on how to get there, but they've never gotten there because all they've done is talk. Amen. Say, now, brother, I didn't come to church to get beat on tonight now. No, praise the Lord. We're talking about how to increase, how to not be in the same place this time next year. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, instead of talking about it, now, so well, I'm talking, I'm making good. We're not talking about making the right confession. We're just talking about instead of working, talking. See, work brings profit, but talking brings poverty. Chapter 18, Verse 9 says, a lazy man is brother to the saboteur. What's a saboteur? That's the person that compromises the situation and causes it behind the scenes to go bad. See, lazy people in any organization or on any team will eventually cost the team. Any of you ever played sports on a team? All right. You ever been part of a work team? Anything of that sort? You know this, that lazy people, if you got somebody on that team that's lazy, eventually it will cost the whole team. Right? Eventually it will. And so he says the lazy man is brother to the saboteur. Chapter 20, verse 4 says, if you won't plow in the cold, you won't eat at the harvest. You know, conditions are not always perfect. Now, we didn't read 1 Peter chapter 2, but he talks about working for the employer that's not easy to work for. That's really kind of nasty. But he says, keep your mouth shut and do it. Because Jesus, when he was reviled, he didn't talk back. He committed himself to God, right? But here, you know, and think about it, it's cold. Well, I can't go out there and work today. It's too cold. Well, then you know how it's too hot. Oh, it's just too beautiful today to work. You'll come up with something, right? Well, guess what? Everybody else is out there getting a harvest. You can't figure out, well, my field looks just like it did last year. You never worked it. Never went out and planted it. Now, we were just up in central Illinois, and we were driving up there, and I was telling the kids, I said, you see all that out there? You know what that is? Money. What was it? It was empty fields right now. Little corn stalk, you know, barely like that, and soybean fields are, you know, pretty smooth, but the corn was just, you know, they picked it all, and it's laying there, and they'll go, some of them have plowed, some of them will wait. They don't want it to erode as much. They'll wait till spring to plow it, but that's money out there. Now, it doesn't look like it. See, there's opportunities laying all around us all the time. But if we have these excuses like this, it's too cold. It's too hot. It's just too beautiful. I can't do anything. Verse 13 says, if you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Stay awake, work hard, and there will be plenty to eat. Chapter 21, verse 5 says, steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. I like the next verse. It says, dishonest gain will never last, so why take the risk? Wow. Verse 25 and 26 say this of chapter 21. The lazy man longs for many things, but his hands refuse to work. He's greedy to get, while the godly love to give. See, that's what we're talking about here. When you talk about these things, notice here, you've got to give yourself on the job. Give of yourself. And when you give, that gets God involved in things. Chapter 22, verse 13 says, the lazy man is full of excuses. I can't go to work, he says. If I go outside, I might meet a lion in the street and be killed. Listen, at some point we've got to quit being the little child who's laying in bed not wanting to get up and go to school. And all the excuses. How many of you parents have heard some pretty creative excuses over the years? Some of you hear them because you're reaping what you sowed. Right? But I mean, we've got to let the excuses go. Verse 29 says, do you know a hardworking man? He shall be successful and stand before kings. Chapter 23, verse 19 through 21 says, oh, my son, be wise and stay in God's paths. Don't carouse with drunkards and gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty. And remember that too much sleep clothes a man with rags. chapter 24, verse 30 through 34. I walked by the field of a certain lazy fellow and saw that it was overgrown with thorns and covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked, I learned this lesson: a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest means that poverty will break in upon you suddenly like a robber and violently like a bandit. See, it seems like this all of a sudden happens, but it doesn't. Proverbs 26, verse 13 through 16 says, the lazy man won't go out and work. There might be a lion outside. He said, I mean, that excuse made it twice in Proverbs. He sticks to his bed like a door to its hinges. He's too tired even to lift his food from the dish to his mouth. Yet in his own opinion, he's smarter than seven wise men. Don't look around at anybody. Just keep looking right here. All right, chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Riches can disappear fast, and the king's crown doesn't stay in his family forever. So watch your business interests closely. Now listen to this. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. Now through verse 27. Then there will be lamb's wool enough for clothing and goat's milk enough for food for all your household after the hay is harvested. And the new crop appears and the mountain grasses are gathered in. See, pay attention to what you do have. And then our last one is chapter 28, verse 19. Hard work brings prosperity. Playing around brings poverty. So honoring God by working hard and being a good employee, a good employer. I mean, employers need to work hard also to honor God, to give our best, to do what we're doing. You see, a lot of time when you hear about increase, especially in the area of finances, it's all about how much you can give. But you know, if you don't work, you're not going to have anything to give. Or we want to leave out this aspect of working hard. Amen. But we are honoring God, adorning the gospel of Christ, making who you say you are in reality be who you are. Amen. And so one of the things that we're to incorporate into our life this year, in this year of what's going to be a year of increase, because every year is a year of increase, if you obey God, one of the things that we need to make sure that we have, check up on ourselves. The Bible says, if you have faith, check up on yourself, that you be in the faith. Check up on yourself. How many of you know you can always control your attitude? Yes. Amen. What's your attitude every day when you go to work? I mean, you know, it's like the guy's complaining to his wife, I don't want to go to church today. Nobody there likes me. Nobody ever talks to me. Nobody ever smiles at me. I don't like it there. They don't want me there, and I don't want to be there. Well, she says, well, honey, you're the pastor. You need to go. Amen. But we can control ourselves. If our boss isn't nice, that doesn't matter. Work as unto Christ. We have a higher responsibility. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. It's time. It's that time. So our prayer team's going to come on down here. Hallelujah. Get you a Living Bible. And I heard one pastor say, he said, read a proverb every day for wisdom, and a psalm every night to put the courage back in you the world tried to take out of you during the day. And there's 31 Proverbs, so you double up, you know. Is this leap year? Is this next year's a leap year, right? Is it this year? When is it? I don't remember. It's usually not odd numbered years, is it? So it was last. It was 18, I think. I don't remember. 16, so it'll be 20 next year. We were going on the other day about somebody that was 17 years old, but because their birthday's on the 29th. Amen. Don't try to figure it out. It's all right. That's not part of the sermon. Connection team, would you go find our first-time guests and take them and receive that special gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and our entire church family? Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap. We're glad you're here tonight. Be here Sunday morning. Pastor Hagen will be here. Hallelujah. You want to be here and hear our pastors. Glory to God. He'll have a word and message from God. His first time in the pulpit during this year, so it's going to be a good time to be here. And we're looking forward to a great year. The best year yet. Isn't that right? The best year yet. Let's all stand together. If you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down, ladies, to the ladies, men to the men. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're not walking where you know how to live, you need prayer for something, talk to them. They'd be glad to pray with you according to the Word of God. As far as I know, are we good? All right. Don't forget Friday, but Brother Bill, 2 o'clock, right? Brother Perryman's memorial here in the chapel. Come on out and support the family if you're able to do that. All right. Well, give 2 or 3 people a high five before you leave and tell them work hard and you can be dismissed. God bless you.